At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
And welcome to the Author Brand Show. You're going to want to take notes. And our guest today, oh my gosh, great resume. It's a very good guy here. He's a serial entrepreneur, New York Times bestselling author, global keynote speaker. He's a co-founder and co-CEO of Apprentice, not The Apprentice, Apprentice, a platform connecting entrepreneurs with top college students. And, you know, he's the author of several bestselling books, including Get Over Yourself, Art of People, Likeable, Social Media, there we are, looking down here, and Likeable Business. So welcome to the show today, Mr. Dave Kirpin. Dave, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks so much for having me, Doug.
You bet. Glad to have you on, my friend. Listen, I'm really curious about the thing we talked about right before the show. This is the reason you folks should stick around. He's going to talk, number one, about the primary reason, the number one aspect of better delegation. Are you delegating things properly or not? And if you're not, how can we fix it? We'll get to that in a minute. Before we do, I want to hear more about Dave's background, how he got to be so super successful in the author world, because this show is called Author Brand Show. So tell me about your background, Dave.
Sure. I'll give you the super brief version since we're on a time budget. But I've been building, I got very lucky with my very first business. My wife and I got married at a baseball stadium and sponsored the wedding. And we generated so much media for our wedding vendors that after the wedding, our vendors said, "This was great. What are you going to do next?" 1-800-Flowers.com, who had sponsored our flowers, and Entenmann's, who had sponsored our desserts. And we couldn't get married again, so we started a business instead, a marketing firm that we were fortunate enough to sell 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I've since started 6 or 7 other companies. Nice. Some succeed, some fail. Either way, I write about my experiences and my lessons learned along the way, hence all those books. Again, very fortunate with my first book, Likeable Social Media, the publisher came to me. And yeah. then because that sold so well, it's a New York Times bestseller and translated to 14 languages now and in its third edition. I guess they keep coming back for more books. So Get Over Yourself now is my fifth.
I love it. That's the most recent one, Get Over Yourself?
Yeah, we just launched last week. I'm super excited about it. And okay. I wrote this one because in my experience working with hundreds of small businesses and entrepreneurs, I think one of the biggest things that holds folks back is delegation issues. And so I wanted to solve that problem. I'm an entrepreneur. So unlike sort of a typical author, when I think of books, mm-hmm. I think of it as an entrepreneur. What's the problem out there and how can I solve it? So the idea is, if I can help solve this for people, well, they're going to hire me at Apprentice and they're going to have much better lives and careers as leaders. And so let me try to help them.
I love it. So give me the gist about the book. So it's a Getting Over Yourself in terms of not just delegation, but like growing your company, hiring your first employee. What's the who's it for?
Yeah, it's for entrepreneurs, small business owners, and even managers at bigger companies. Anyone who has a team or needs a team to succeed, mm-hmm. which I would argue certainly all, there's a lot of solopreneurs out there, but of course, my thesis is that as a solopreneur, it's very, very hard to make it and to scale and to live the life of your dreams without a team. And so anyone from a solopreneur to an entrepreneur with a bigger team, this will work. I don't know if you want to recut that, Doug, if you heard me. I think there's some...
I didn't hear a thing. We could just say it again and we'll edit it. It's okay. Take two.
Okay, great. Where did you lose me? The whole answer to why is it a... Who is it good for?
Yeah.
So it's great for anyone with a team. So entrepreneurs, small business owners, or even managers at bigger companies, I think it's a really good fit for. In fact, any solopreneurs probably should have a team if they want to scale and grow and live the life of their dreams. So I would say that Get Over Yourself is a great book for anyone with a team or solopreneurs that know in the back of their heads that maybe if they had a team, they could grow a little bit more.
Right. Let's talk about that for those people who are starting out or just, you know, hanging out the 1 or 2 person company thing. Because I talk to plenty of them myself and I find the common thread, which is, yeah, I know I need to grow, but I'm at this income level. And as soon as I add somebody, it's going to like knock my income down to maybe, you know, nothing or a lot less. How do you leverage that so that you don't go under, don't have to go and get, you know, debt?
Yeah. Well, first, let me say this. I'm going to give the answer away to the teaser question and say that many people use many excuses around systems or tools, or in this case, lack of financial resources to bring people on. Right. And my thesis is that these are all smoke screens, and that the real issues that folks have around delegation are right up here. And that's the second meaning of get over yourself. The real challenges are the fears and the trust issues that we have, the need to control, and the perfectionism issues. These are before what I call emotional detractors that keep us from leading and delegating well. Mm-hmm. Now, to the point of your question, Doug, the folks that are watching or listening are thinking, but I can't afford to hire someone. Let me say there are a plethora of opportunities and ways that I can prove you wrong. On the lower talent side, Fiverr is literally a network where you pay $5 to hire talent. If you cannot afford $5 to hire talent, there's a really, really big problem, bigger problem than I can solve here. But Fiverr, Upwork are starting points for hiring a lower level talent at really, really affordable prices. Mm-hmm. At the next level, you could work with a firm like mine that provides top-notch college students, work with apprentices or interns. You're going to pay more than you're going to pay on Fiverr and Upwork, but you're going to get great work. Virtual assistant companies in the Philippines and other countries provide great full-time people at a very, very low cost, for example. And then at the highest level, you know, folks that say to me, well, I really need a chief marketing officer. I really need a chief sales officer. I really need a chief fill in the blank, but I can't afford a chief. Then I wouldn't make any money. I say, think big picture and find yourself a partner, an equity partner. Wow. Get us. What I've done in my career is I worked with co-founders and partners. Mm-hmm. I get a smaller slice, but guess what? It's a smaller slice of a bigger pie. And in the long run, the investment in a partner and my giving up equity in a business ends up coming back to me manyfold, not only in the value that I extract over time, but in the value of my own time that's freed up by the work that that partner or those partners are doing.
Yeah, that's so appropriate. I was interviewing one of our author clients earlier today. He's got a $300 million company. And he talked about how, you know, the person you hire, number one, he always looks at it as a marathon, not a sprint, of course. But he says that person has to bring in value to justify their salary. Of course, maybe not the first few months, but at some point they got to pay for themselves. So if you have that mindset saying, no, I'm going to make an extra 250 grand by paying this guy 100, you're still ahead of $125,000. But it's part of the, that's, you know, right. Again, to your point, it's probably mostly fear. They're afraid to like make that commitment, right?
Fear holds us back. Fear holds us. Fear keeps people from starting companies, from hiring people, mm-hmm. from taking those chances. But it's only through courage, or by, you know, courage is literally the definition of acting in the face of fear, that we're able to get over ourselves and move forward. And let me tell you, I'm terrified. People are shocked to hear how afraid I am. Like, I'm afraid all the time. I'm just, in addition to the fear that I feel, right, of showing up on a new podcast, making a fool out of myself, I'm afraid. I also have courage to act in the face of that fear. Yeah. And so the thing is, I don't like the word fearless because people are told to be fearless, but it's unrealistic. It's okay to be afraid. We're all freaking afraid. There's a lot of scary stuff out there. And in the face of that fear, can you say, but you know what? I want to build something bigger for my kids. I want to build something bigger for my future. I want to swing for the fences. And if I strike out, guess what? I can come up to the plate again next week or next month or next year. And that's the courage to act that the real successes have, right? Michael Jordan said, I failed at far more shots than nearly anyone on the planet. In fact, I think he does have more missed shots than anyone on the planet. Yeah. But guess what? It's because he made a lot of shots too.
Yep, that's right. Give the ball to Michael. Yeah, it's so amusing. I have a bunch of veterans as clients too, and this just never comes up because, like, hey man, I've been shot at, so I'm not really afraid of getting hung up on or embarrassment or rejection. I'm like, you're not going to die, you know. So I think that's one thing to keep in perspective if you're facing fear of hiring someone or delegation, whatever it is. What's the worst thing that can happen to you? Oh, I could be embarrassed. And what does that mean? It means nothing nowadays because people forget about you in a couple of seconds. You don't focus on you. It's mainly the internal voice, right? Oh my. So totally, let's get to that, totally. That golden nugget here. The number one aspect of better delegation. Is that the fear thing?
Yeah, it's you know, we started talking about mindset issues. So Doug, what I would say to add some additional insight is around mm-hmm. trust. So a lot of people think, how can I delegate because I don't trust this person? And what I would say is that, you know, trust is earned over time, and mm-hmm. that's okay. But we got to start somewhere. So what I always do is I start with the first very basic task, and I let somebody earn my trust, and then I give them chances to earn more and more of my trust over time. So I'm not immediately, betting the farm on this person because they're building their way up. And of course, that works very easily with interns. I probably don't need to explain how that might work with an intern, but with a let's say a big position. Let's say I'm hiring a chief marketing officer. I might hire them for a 2-week project on contract first. And when they deliver the results of that 2-week project, then I might hire them full time. So it's building trust over time. And that way makes me feel more confident in my ability to delegate.
Terrific. Okay. We've lost you for a second there, but we got the gist of it of, basically sampling, right? Date before you get married. I like that aspect. A lot of our CEOs and founders in our network are also authors, and I'm sure they'd love to hear about your author journey. So, Dave, you can give us a little preview on how you went from zero to hero as an author. I'd love to hear how you did that.
Sure. Again, very fortunate with my first book. I had a publisher reach out to me, mm-hmm. and it's interesting because I always wanted to write a book, but I never had the courage to figure out how to do it. And they reached out to me, McGraw-Hill, and I did my first book with them, and it was a huge success. Mm-hmm. Came back to do my second book. I learned the hard way that everyone judges a book by its cover, because second book, Likeable Business, is my best book by reviews. Uh-huh. So objectively speaking, it's my best written book, but it's my worst selling book by far because everyone judges a book by its cover. So unfortunately, so be it. And then I did one self-published book along the way. It's a collection of essays. And to those out there that are looking to self-publish, there's great opportunities out there now. It's never been a better time. But then I returned to The Art of People was my next one that worked with a very big publisher, Random House. They were wonderful. Mm-hmm. And now with Get Over Yourself, I'm actually working with another wonderful publisher, Ben Bella, which is a very entrepreneurial publisher. So I love it as an entrepreneur, and I have much bigger upside than I had with my previous my previous traditional publisher.
A lot of people they go back and forth on that question. I have it all the time posed to us about, you know, self-publisher, publisher, and you went with a publisher right out of the gate. They approached you, which is beneficial, of course, because that's, you didn't have to put out a query letter you still have to do a proposal for them, or what, with McGraw?
I did. It was an interesting situation where I wasn't going to have to, and then somebody convinced me to hire an agent. And so I hired an agent, and then she helped me with the proposal. We did the proposal, and I ended up still doing the deal with the first publisher, but the agent did help me. I'm guessing you're going to ask around sort of to self-publish or to publish, right?
No. I have my own opinion on that. I like to have other people's perspectives on it, because I understand there's benefits, pros and cons to both, of course. So when you went with your first publisher, though, your agent said you better do a proposal with it. Did you also have to do like a book tour to help with the marketing? They did most of it for you. How did it work on the getting it out there?
I think I missed most of the beginning of your question. We'll probably have to edit this, Doug. I'll tell you that. By the way, I was on another podcast with Riverside, they had the same issue, and we ended up going to Zoom. So Riverside, you better fix your problems.
Yeah, I'm not really thrilled with that right now. We might have to redo it, man, because I use Restream, and I've never had it frozen like this. Of course, I use a direct line. I don't have a Wi-Fi. I do a cable to my house. Yeah.
Do you want it? We can re-record anything you want now, and then if it's really bad, we can set up another time to Zoom. What was your? I think your question was around the marketing. If you don't mind,
yeah, marketing. We got a few minutes. Call me some marketing. What did they do? What did you do in marketing your very first book?
Yeah. So I will say this: traditional publishers, even the best, biggest publishers in the world, mm-hmm. are not very good at marketing, and authors need to go in eyes wide open and have the right expectations about what publishers will do for them marketing wise. Mm-hmm. The best thing that publishers do, and this is broadly speaking, having worked with three different big publishers, is send out books. So if you can get publishers to send out books to influencers, to media, mm-hmm. That is decision makers that would buy in bulk books for, mm-hmm. for their businesses. Those are three very valuable sets of folks to send books out to. That is a wonderful thing that publishers do in fact bring to the table. Mm-hmm. Besides that, you absolutely need to come up with your own marketing and promotions and publicity plan, and you need to work it. And, it's like any business, you gotta work hard to build a campaign and to sell books, to do all these wonderful podcasts up.
Yeah, it's me. On your very first one, how many, did they tell you how many people they sent it out to, or influencers and media and stuff, or you just start showing up on shows?
My very first one was not a lot. Maybe 100. But the best thing I did in negotiating my deal with The Art of People, God bless the folks at Random House, they sent out 1,000 books, which is that's almost unheard of. In fact, it is unheard of, my agent said. But that's and Ben Bella, to their credit, is sending books out to everyone that I send them an address to. So I appreciate that a lot. Nice. But yeah, for first-time authors, it's harder. So I would say to any first-time authors out there, the biggest thing to push your publisher on before the deal is sending out books. How many books they'll send out?
I love it. Love it. Are you working on another one now for the future or what? Taking a break?
I'm taking a little short break because I just closed Get Over Yourself, or launched it. But I suspect my last book will be around something around health and wealth and the connection between the two.
Yeah. We're gonna reschedule.
I think I lost you again, but I suspect my last book will be about health and wealth and the connection of the two.
Topic.
But for now, I'm focused on Get Over Yourself.
I love that topic. Yeah, I'm gonna send you a link to you and your team. We'll do this again. I'll go back to a Restream. I apologize for the Riverside snafus here. Quick question for you. I'm gonna stop this thing. This is a.